Spiritual practice is a process of divestiture, to put it into capitalist terms, since we're in that kind of a society. The metaphor of investing, I think, is a useful one. Our first investment is in the ego itself, and we invest a lot of energy into what is essentially a representation of the self. And then we try to build up that representation in as interesting a way as possible and maintain this artificial construct. And that construct itself then has its own investments in order to feel like it's good, it's lovable, it's worthy, etc. And so it invests often in creating a family to make sure there's a captive audience of people who have to love you, or investing in a business to make sure there's plenty of capital coming back, or investing in collections of art, or whatever else it is that makes the ego feel good and justify its existence. And then the ego has to create a master narrative that it can agonize over and try to achieve. And it has to keep failing at that achievement so it never loses the carrot that it can never quite reach, right? They put in front of the donkey and the donkey can't quite get it and it keeps going. So the ego does the same thing. It puts that carrot in front that it'll never reach. If it reaches it, it's finished. So it has to make sure that it can never actually reach it. Once the worst thing that can happen is you get what you desire, right? If you do, then you have to immediately say, oh no, that wasn't it. And throw them away and say, nah, that far one, that's the one I want. And then, of course, the ego can maintain itself for a long time, a long distance, because what happens if you lose that structure, if the wheels come off the ego, what's left? But once you've done this for enough time that you realize you're never going to catch the carrot and the whole thing is kind of a waste of your energy, you realize that not only can you disinvest in what the ego has created for itself as its desires and its own attributes as the ultimate object of desire, but it can disinvest even in the need to have any sort of ego at all. And that's what liberation really is. Now, you can put it in dualistic terms and say, well, I'm going to invest in God. But even that then maintains a dualistic investment in a belief system, right? So can you disinvest in everything so that all the original capital of that desire, because that's really all your capital is, really, right? It's that desire to invest. And what is that desire when you take it back to its essence? It is beingness. It is sat. It's pure awareness, pure intelligence, pure love, purified of all the investments, all the identifications, all the particularities. You're in a state of freedom. And once again, in a state of complete potentiality for a full creative expression of your being that isn't limited by any conditionings from the past. Okay? Because based on the past, and based on the conditionings that the society gives us, we determine which investments are going to yield the highest rate of return. And you may have discovered in your life that investing in your looks is the best way to magnify your chances in the world, or investing in your ability to do a particular kind of skill, or investing in some other kind of professional or aesthetic endeavor. But ultimately, those are temporary, and they won't yield the profit that you're really looking for. And because in any game that you choose to play with the ego, time is not on your side. Time runs out. The actual physical energy of the body mechanism, it ages, it decays, it dies. And to the extent that you've identified yourself with that organism, then as it ages, the wheels are going to start to feel like they're falling off of you. And that, of course, creates a tremendous amount of terror. But if you've disinvested in the vehicle and you recognize that that isn't who you are, then you can cope with whatever happens to it in the world. And you can cope with whatever happens with whatever trajectory of expression that you are offering to the world, because you're offering it as a gift without any quid pro quo, without needing anything back. You are no longer results oriented, and therefore you don't have to strategize and manage to get a certain feedback from whatever you're doing. What you are is an offering of love to the world. And if you can accept whatever happens without fear, without desire, then you're free to be in the world with the full capacities available to you. Because the alternative is that you maintain this ego structure that is based on the past, and then you are inherently haunted by the past. You carry it on your back like a turtle carries a shell. And that past history determines then the way you feel about things. And it will determine your desires. You may think you have free will because you can choose whatever you want, but you don't have the freedom to desire what you want. You can get what you want, but you can't want to want something else. But beyond the ego, you can realize that all the things that your ego wants are ridiculous and won't get you what you really want. What you really want is to rediscover who you are, that you have forgotten because of all of these investments and representations. And because the past that haunts you is filled with agonies, and the desire in many cases for vengeance, or the desire to punish yourself, or to punish others, or to deal with things in a warped kind of way that will recreate a trauma over and over again. You are in a field of space, emotional space, that is curved. It is curved in such a way that you will return again and again to the origins of the ego's identity itself. And since that origin is always a birth in a field of trauma, then you constantly keep returning to it. Because if you weren't traumatized, you wouldn't have created an ego in the first place. You would remain in an egoless state of pure presence. And so the ego is basically a defense mechanism against the very trauma that brought it into being in the first place. So by disinvesting in that ego, you disinvest in trauma, you disinvest in negativity, you disinvest in the repetition of events that will inherently follow the same pattern. You allow the curvature of space to open up again to infinite possibility. But the cost of that is that we have to allow this representation of the self, this little doll that we worship, to dissolve. It's a voodoo doll. And it has put a curse on us because we have believed in it as being who we are. And it is always limited. Even if it's a golden voodoo doll, it's limited in what it can achieve, and it's not real. And you always have to have somebody who says, wow, how beautiful that gold is, but it's not really. Okay? It's too limited, and it's always dependent on some external other valuing you in order to feel good about that doll. It is inherently dependent on a marketplace to be sold, to be exchanged. And then you have become an object of exchange, and you have debased and degraded yourself from being divine to being this object to be evaluated and discarded and rejected by others. And then, of course, you need to have defenses up against that happening, and you have to be the one to discard first, etc. And we all know the game, the cutthroat way that life is played at the plane of the ego. And if we choose not to participate in that, then we can only successfully accomplish that if we discover the divine presence that is always here, that it is here prior to any ego and will be here after any ego dissolves, but that you do not have to wait through the illusion of linear time in order to reunite with. And so that's what Sat Yoga is. It says, don't wait here and now, because here and now is all that is the moment to realize my true self, the true self that is formless, genderless, timeless, spaceless, without fear, without desire, without illusions, without needs, that is beyond the dualities of life and death even. And in that state, there's freedom. And so you have to ask yourself, do you want that freedom or not? You may not. But it's the only way to release all the hauntings, all the suffering, all the misery, all the tendencies and conditionings. There aren't any half measures. Nothing else is going to do. Even the best drugs will wear off and you're back in the same misery. This is the only way out. Once you have come to recognize that there is no other solution than self-realization, then it doesn't make sense anymore to put it off to the future. If you still have the illusion, well, maybe Prozac will do it and I don't have to go through self-realization, or, you know, maybe something else, a better husband, a better wife, a better job, a better whatever, whatever the carrot is that you put out in front of yourself, if you still believe that that will do it, so be it. But inside we all know that nothing on the phenomenal plane will do it. And there's no security ever on the phenomenal plane, because if you do get what you want, then you're in terror of losing it constantly, right? And so you end up guarding it more than actually enjoying what you have. So the only security is in that union with our absolute being.